talk about, Iris, your position when you were there. You said you were doing bonuses first, and then
the accountants, and then the bonus office, and then the bonus office, as I say, went, and I went into production. Production information services, and we did all the background, all the figures for the factory and all that kind of thing, machine breakdown reports, it was all reports, and we even did a report about how many the packets they used to take. The quality control took a sample of packets every maybe 2 hours off a plant, and they'd record the packet weight, you know, plus, you know, 1%, minus 1%, and get an average of the packets over the hour, over the couple of hours. And we even did a report about that. Because, you see, if all the packets were overweight, you were giving away tons of biscuits a day. So that all had to be kept in check. So we even did a report about that. There was a report about that. There was a machine breakdown report. Every time the machine was down, how long it was down, the reason for it, and all that kind of thing. So that's where I worked. And then we were amalgamated then, or taken over by Michael Carey from Fruitfield, and that part of that job was going. So they offered me a job in consumer complaints.
Well, what did that entail?
That entailed dealing with the public, you know, sorting out the problem. People bought a packet of biscuits and broken biscuits or burnt biscuits or foreign matter in the biscuits or anything like that. Any complaint at all they had.
What do you remember?
What do I remember? there was every complaint imaginable. Some people were lovely to deal with. I mean, you know, it was at the end of the day, it was a packet of biscuits, but some people got quite cross about it and were hard to deal. You know, they weren't easily sorted out. But, you know, I went up to Fruitfield, because at that stage, Fruitfield, we were owned by Michael Carey and Fruitfield, so I was up actually on the premises up there. But
talk to me about these complaints. I mean, surely there was an unusual or a funny kind of a complaint.
No, I can't think of any at the minute.
Did anybody ever find something in a biscuit?
Yes.
Or, you know.
Oh, you see, in the summer, the hot weather, the flies. That was a big, you know, and some people got, well, very upset if they found a fly in our biscuit. So, you know, and some of them thought, I think they were going to get free shopping for a year. But no, I'm afraid not. No, that wasn't the story. You just had to be as nice as you could about them and try to, you know, agree with them. Oh, yeah, dreadful, dreadful, yeah, yeah. So, we just sent them out some biscuits and a little postal order just to, you know, say very sorry about that. We had about, there was a database on the computer of about 60 letters. So, to cover all eventualities, so it was a matter of just picking which letter number 12 today for this lady, you know. But the Fruitfield was slightly different the up there, because you see, dealing with jars of jams and marmalade, you could get glass, so that could be quite serious.
Yeah.
Pieces of glass. That wasn't quite as the complaints up there. You know, I felt they were more of a more serious nature than we had with the biscuits. You know, because glass cut people. You know, it could be quite serious, and especially children involved and all. So, but it was dealt the same way. It was, you know, they didn't. I was surprised when I went up. I said, "Oh, got glass. What do we do?" Do you say, you know, gosh, that's good, you know. But it was amazing how you sort it out, and you know, yeah, it was like that. They had their database of letters as well, letters 1 to 25 or whatever. That was it.
And
yeah.
You deal with one or two or three complaints a day.
Oh no, more? Oh, not at all. Yeah. No. Than that, I know. You see, the thing about, well, you never knew, when you picked up the phone, you never knew what you were going to get or what you were going to hear or who you were going to have to deal with. So it was exciting that way, because you never knew what the day was going to bring at the end of the phone, what they had found in the biscuits or the jams and marmalades at that stage as well, you know.
And so Jacobs and Fruitfields had amalgamated, had they?
Well, they hadn't amalgamated. They were both loaned by Michael Carey. Michael Carey bought us.
Yes.
You know, when Dunoan sold us.
That's right.
Yeah, Michael Carey took us over. So, and he already had taken over Fruitfield.
All right. All that management change, did that upset the staff, do you think?
Yeah, a little bit. And there was a little bit of concern about jobs because he had already taken them over and they already had an up and running, you know, all their office staff and all. So there was a little, yes, there was a little bit of angst because, you know, is he going to keep on two customer complaints, you know? But actually the girl, I was lucky because the girl up there had a young family, so she took the redundancy, so I got that. So that was me sorted. But other people, you know, were obviously worried because, well, was he going to keep on two office blocks? I mean, you know. Mm. So there was a little bit of angst at the time. Yeah, there was a little bit of angst at the time. Yeah.
Were you aware all the time then, you know, that, the old management of Jacobs were changing, that they you know, the takeover at the time. Were you watching that? Was it worrying times?
It was worrying because things were changing and very fast. You know, people were coming in, different people were let go, other people were coming in, and we sort of felt their job was to, you know, get this up and running, get rid of this, get rid of that, cut short this, make this more efficient, make that more efficient. And the atmosphere changed. And that's when I said, when I was up at redundancy, they actually came and they only wanted 15 out of the factory, out of the offices, sorry. And I said, no, I'm quite happy, you know, the age I am, I've 30 years experience, where would I go? Not at all, wouldn't be interested. And then they actually gave it to all of us in the offices and said, there's a piece of paper, go home at Christmas and think about it, and told us what we were worth and what we'd get. So I had young nieces and nephews and they were saying, Brenda, you're mad, go for it. You know, you're still young enough. I think I was 50 at that stage. Yeah, it would have been.
So you're 10 years gone, did you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Brenda.
Yeah, it would have been 50. And I sort of said, well, I'm still young enough to go and do something else, please God. So the enjoyment really was gone out at this stage. A lot of my friends have left. It was, you do a favour today, it was your job tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so the atmosphere had certainly changed.
Okay, so you could see the
yeah, it was
the
very
end of
much,
the road.
Yeah, I felt, well, I enjoyed, I had great days. I had 30 good years. Get out, but I still have good memories. So
apart from the atmosphere changing, you know, with the, say, the new management now, I mean, was there a kind of a different attitude by the management? You know, were they more
times
conscious?
Were tougher then, you see. You know what I mean? Before that, you could, you know, you did your job and you got paid and everything was hunky-dory. But then recession and everything was watched at and it wasn't enough. I mean, management had tough times as well. I mean, they were probably told to cut this, cut that, do what they could to have cutbacks here. And everything was just moved forward. That just came an atmosphere of unions and everyone involved. And it was just an uneasy time, definitely. And I said, well, I want to go when I have happy memories, rather than just stay and hang on in there. And please God, I get something. So I went, and I've never looked back since.
And Iris, did you see it out to the end?
Yes. Nearly to the end. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm gone nearly 5 years now. Yeah, I did, nearly, yeah. I mean, it was a good offer. You know, we couldn't complain. But when they came into the meeting to tell us, like, he was closing down the place. Because, you know...
Who told you that? Who told you that?
Well, our union officials told us, you know. But they told us first, and then there was a big meeting in the canteen. But we had come close so many times, you know, before. A few times, not many times, but a few times before, we're going to close down, and Danone are going, you know, and all that. You know, over the years. But to actually hear it, one of the union girls, you know, she was on the committee and all, and she came in and I knew by her face it wasn't good. And yeah, he was closing it down, he was stopping production, that was it, it was gone. Oh, it was dreadful. Now it was absolutely dreadful. You know, as I say, finally to hear those words, you know, as I say, a few times it had come close, but always something seemed to save it, you know, but gosh, it really was a shock for everybody. It was dreadful, absolutely dreadful. Mm.
And to talk about the way that you looked and dressed inside of the factory, protocol, how did you dress?
Well, as in the offices, we had to wear a white coat and a hat, peeped hat. That was just all we had to do. In the factory, you had different coloured smocks. The mallow had blue. The chocolate room had brown. Bakehouse had yellow. And they started packing. I can't remember.
Can't remember what they were.
They were a smaller group. But definitely everyone had their own overalls, zip up, hair back, nets sometimes, and then a hat. So, you know, I suppose it was good enough at the time. Everyone was quite happy, we were covered. And of course, you were dealing with a factory, food factory, so you had to be. And then the offices could more or less wear what they want once they were in the offices. But as I said, going down to the factory, they had to have a buttoned up white coat and their hat on them.
And that was that spanking white, clean?
Oh, yeah, we had a laundry that looked after them. We got our clean overalls every so often, the factory as well. They were issued with our clean overalls, and we were the same.
Yeah.
We issued with our white coats and our hats.
Yeah. I'm just, was everybody buzzing around the factory? I'm just thinking of, you know, kind of the that you'd never see a heavy person there. I'm just thinking biscuits. Would you see people eating biscuits there in the factory all day?
Oh, biscuits off the plant or something else. You couldn't buy them the way you'd, you know, if your manager was coming up to check them on something for weight or something, we'd say, could we have one? And the Mikado, Kimberly, fresh off, would give you indigestion. They were just so fresh, beautiful. Choc Kimberly, of course, beautiful. But all the biscuits were beautiful. You know, you just couldn't. I mean, you see them, the Mikado with that little jam in the middle. They were just so precise, you know, and the coconut creams and your Kimberly with your fluff white in the middle and your brown on top and your brown on bottom. They were just so perfect. Leaving, you know, again, they got impact. Everything looked so, you know, perfection.
Was that the way it was? Yeah.
Yes. Even the plain biscuits were beautiful. To grab a couple of gold grain or a couple of digestive, a little bit of pat of butter, oh, they were melt in the mouth. They were so fresh. They were absolutely fabulous. They really, it's an awful pity they had to go to the warehouse and you know, to spend a couple of weeks there. Now, if we could only get to the customers within a week of them being baked, they'd have a stampede at the shops to buy them. They were beautiful. Absolutely melting them out. They were gorgeous.
And the biscuit that everybody would remember, of course, is the fig roll. And how they got the figs into the fig roll.
Yes.
And the amount of publicity that got, you know.
Jim Figgerty.
There was children ringing up to speak to Jim Figgerty. That's how good that campaign was. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Kids on the phone. Can I speak to Jim Figgerty, please?
Big campaign was... It may not be your problem today.
Oh, Frankie.
On the radio program.
Yeah, she loved Frank Sinatra. Yeah. She loved Frank Sinatra. Yeah, she was gas.
She used to come in today because of her, but...
Yeah, she did. You know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But her radio program was huge.
Absolutely, yeah.
I always remember her saying, it may not be your problem today, but it could be someday. The dancer queries, but people have problems with their marriages or whatever.
And boyfriends and all.
Boyfriends. And sponsored by Jacobs.
Fab. That was a huge, that was a massive success. Unbelievable success. Yeah.
And did you talk to her?
No.
I used to see her in reception come in to talk, and I always remember how skinny her legs were. She had very skinny legs, and that's my memory of poor Frankie.
Yeah.
Of course, she did the Jacobs Awards and all that were huge then as well. You know.
Oh, they were huge, yeah. They had Special Delf with the television logo on it for those Special Delf made for those awards. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
And who made the Delf for?
No, I know. I just remember seeing it with the television logo on it. It was Special Delf for the television awards that was used only that night.
Gee. Yeah.
Lots of memories back then.
Yeah.
But the whole. As you say, the biscuits, you'll never forget them. and that was part of the perks of the business, was that you probably took loads of packages home with you, or biscuits.
No.
They had to be bought they were in the job shop. We got the job in the job shop. Every Tuesday and Thursday, the job shop was opened. And you'd get a lovely brown cardboard box of club milks.
Yeah.
And there could be 6 or 7 pounds of broken club, and she got them for 50 pence or a pound. Oh, people love to see you coming with your brown box.
And I was down with Brenda Bickey.
Brenda, yeah. Oh, unbelievable.
Brenda Bickey.
Fabulous.
I always had biscuits with me, mixed bag.
And, yeah, you know. The mixed bags were great as well.
Jaffa's cakes, when you got them in your boxes, good box, and then you got Chap Kimberley. Oh, they'd love to see you. But then at Christmas was a different story, because they used to think you'd organise your tins for them. So he said, can I have 2 afternoon tea? And I'll have an USA, or I have Mikado and 2 Coke and Creams. And I didn't drive at the time. I said, you can, but you come up and you collect me outside and I'll do it. But it was, you had to be very, you know, people were allowed from the outside in, but you had to have a pass. If you were an electrician or if you were doing something in the job, the Weybridge had to issue a ticket or pass to go to the job shop. And if you weren't known to certain people in the job shop, you did not get your biscuits. Excuse me, do you work here? No, right, out.
Oh, when Christmas came along, you know, the lovely boxes of especially
USA, yes. Jelly Stars at one stage, Mikado, Coconut Creams, Kimberley, all the tins. So they were heavy to carry, you know, very reasonably priced, but I mean, try to walk up the Belgrade Road to 2 or 3 tins, you know, and that was only one order. So I got to the stage, I said no. And you come in the car, collect me, and I'll
But the temptation, out. I mean, of eating biscuits like that.
No, these were in jobs that were concealed, you see. They were all packed away, like, you know, they were closed. Right. The factory, obviously going down to the factory and smelling and seeing them coming off the plant, that was tempting. But we wouldn't be that much in the factory. Yeah. So it wouldn't be an everyday occurrence that we'd be down, maybe once a day, but, you know. But they were, it was lovely, the smells and the taste.
Do you miss it?
Yes. Certainly the people. It was great. It really was a great atmosphere and a great friends. And it was, it's sad to see it. Sad to see it gone.
It was 30 years, a long time.
It is, great people there. Some fabulous people work there. Great.
Absolutely.
This is it. The thing is,
might be gone, but the people are still there,
and we still keep in touch. But exactly. Yeah, there is, nice. There's a lot of keeping in touch with different groups, and certainly, you know, definitely.
Well, it's been lovely talking to both of you about Jacobs, and you know, we certainly learned an awful lot. Brenda Boyd, thank you very much. And Iris Smart, thank you very much.
Thank you, Maurice. No problem.
Contribution. Thank you.
Thank you.